freed in a way. I wasn't really free, but I sort of decided I wasn't going to go all the way up to the Erie, Pennsylvania. Whether I would come over here this morning or get down into Kentucky. So, being lazy, I came the short route. I do so much traveling anyway. It's kind of nice to not have to drive so far, either drive or fly. So, I kind of thought it'd be nice to be over here this morning and bring a message that I hope is not garbled, but will be clear enough to help you understand a little more on the time in which we live. See, the first part of three sermons on the mystery of iniquity, but we'll see what we can cover with some degree of intelligence this morning. Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Our Father, we ask you now to help us in the meditation, Lord, upon thy word, that we might be instructed according to truth. Teach us, O God, that our lives may be filled with truth, and our way, Lord, may be and not have any error in it whatsoever. We ask you, Lord, to bless each ear to hear the word this morning, but we know that can only be based upon the fact that the lips, Lord, be giving the truth. But we pray, my God, that nothing shall be said or heard but what is the truth of your word this morning. Lord, you're able to do this. You who shut the lion's mouth, God, can shut our mouth this morning. And you, Lord, who can open deaf ears, can open any ear to hear the truth. So we just give ourselves over to you unreservedly, believing you heard us now and have answered our prayer according to your promise. In Jesus' name, amen. We go to the book of 2 Thessalonians, in the second chapter, and just taking the one verse from this scripture portion here, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Now, of course, this is spoken of the end time, that the mystery of iniquity will be an absolute full manifestation. Now, I believe that man is so engrossed with creation because of what he can do with creation and what he gets out of creation, that is, what he's able to derive from it for his own benefit and own pleasure, that man today has pretty well lost sight of all reality as concerning God. Now, because of his scientific prowess, and that's what has brought us to this place, this scientific age, the 20th century age, I believe that man is living in a dream world of impending doom. I'm convinced that Brother Walker's vision that he had of the scientists being shaken momentarily by what was going on went right back to their test tubes and their designs to formulate or produce a better world has left them in a dream world. The people as a whole are in a dream world that they don't realize that judgment is right around the corner. Now they feel that something is there. They keep under this tension all the time and they don't understand it. But they don't know that it actually is spelling doom. The ecologists are telling us we've got 10 to 30 years and people think, well, that could be true. And it is true, but there's nothing that really is crystallizing in their thoughts at this time that an absolute world catastrophe is right around the corner. Now, this sin is not original to the 20th century. This is the same sin that brought about the flood, and it's going to bring about the doom of our modern-day civilization. Now, to get this picture, you can turn over here to the Romans, the first chapter, and beginning at verse 15, and reading to about 23, Paul says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination." That's reasonings. All scientific and all reasoning is in that word. "And their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now, Paul is telling the heathen Rome here that they need a true revelation of Almighty God. He says here, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel at Rome. And then he tells you what the gospel is. It's the righteousness of God revealed. It's God's own righteousness revealed to the people. And today, in this modern century, 20th century, we need a fresh revelation of the Lord. Just like Paul was bringing Rome, that revelation, because they were wrong in their understanding of Godhead. Now, this revelation, of course, came from God Himself, according to the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians, the first chapter, verse 6, I guess it starts. Paul said, I marvel you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, you watch this carefully in view of what we said about Romans, because Paul was going to go to Rome to preach the gospel, which would bring a true revelation to the people. And he said here, but though we or an angel of heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say we now. If any, the word man is interpolated there, could be an angel, it could be anything at all that would bring any type of a gospel. He said, if any preach any other gospel unto you, then you have received. Didn't say that you produced it, you got it on your own. But it's just the same word that he said to the Corinthian church. What came the word of God unto you? Or came the word of God out of you? Now he said, if it came unto you, then you'd better believe what I'm saying. And he said that you have received that and be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if yet I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now he claims here a supernatural revelation through Jesus Christ himself bringing this word, which he is going to bring to Rome, which is the revelation of the righteousness of Almighty God to the people. For you have heard of my behavior, the word conversation behavior, in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. Now this is what he was doing, was preaching the traditions of Israel, which at that time was the only place where it was the only, like as Brother Branham mentioned, Jerusalem was the most holy place. It was the only place where you could get any light of revelation at all. And you could see that it was no revelation. It was finished. It was nothing but the traditions of the elders. And Paul was converted to the true revelation of the gospel or Jesus Christ by Jesus Christ himself. Now you'll notice what he was doing. At the time that he received the revelation, he was preaching the wrong thing, and this thing was causing him to bring people into the courts where they would be killed. Now just keep all these things in mind, see? If Paul said, I'm going to preach the gospel to Rome, it's the revelation of the righteousness of Almighty God. And then he goes on to tell you what that revelation came by. It came by Jesus Christ himself. Showed what it did. It changed him from traditions, which same traditions which he was zealous in, was causing him to kill the very bride of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, you'll notice here, as I've said, that the revealed word reveals the very righteousness of God. For therein, this gospel, this word, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, what is the righteousness of God? What is that revelation Paul spoke of? It's in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 30. But of him, that's of God, are you in Christ Jesus, that's in union with Christ Jesus, who of God, that's Jesus, of God, is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it's written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now what is the righteousness of God revealed? It is Christ revealed. in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and in verse 21, again speaking, "For he," that's Jesus, or rather God, "hath made him," that's Jesus, "to be made sin for us," that's become a sin offering for us, "who knew no sin, that he himself had no sin within him, that we might be made," or might become, "the righteousness of God in him." Now what is it? Christ is the very righteousness of Almighty God. And there is a revelation of righteousness in the Word, which is Christ himself, who is our own righteousness. Now, let's go back to Romans again and watch this carefully. Everything I say here has a point, Judy, if you can just keep it in your mind, and then bring it all together as we go right from this place to the 20th century. Now, notice, in the 17th and 18th verses again, "For therein the revealed Word of God, which is Christ revealed, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Then in the 18th verse, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness," and the word K, "even unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, you'll see that these two verses speak of two types of righteousness. That's right, there's two righteousness mentioned here in the Bible, in verse 17 and verse 18. One is the righteousness of God. The other is the righteousness of men, which God calls unrighteousness. See, there's two kinds mentioned here. You'll catch on to that, why I say the righteousness of man is mentioned here in this 18th verse. See, just what Paul was doing. We'll catch in a little while. Two righteousness mentioned here. One is a true righteousness, the other is an unrighteousness. But remember, they come from the same root, because righteousness is righteousness regardless of whether it's got a prefix on it or not. See, one is righteousness, true, the other is unrighteousness. But it's this unrighteousness that God categorizes unrighteousness really is the righteousness of man that Paul was trying to produce himself, and was leading him to destroy the very bride. Follow me? Okay, now, both are explained here in the Word. God's righteousness is a true revelation of himself to us by the revealed Word. Now, let's get this carefully. See, if you don't see this, you never understand this end time message. Now, let me show it again. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Believes what? See, not just believe. Well, you can believe the moon's made of green cheese. That's not going to make it green cheese. Yeah, I know I say silly things up here, but I've got to do it to snap your minds into getting away from what's wrong in our thinking today. Your thinking doesn't make a thing a certain way, and you're believing. You've got to believe the right way. And there's only one way you can believe the right way, and that's to have your mind set on the thing that's right. See? Just like if you believe this little light up here, there's a couple of neon bulbs, you sure believe in wrong. There are neon bulbs, little filaments in there. See? Now, it says here, "to him that believeth, for therein," wherein? The gospel, which is what? The revealed word of Almighty God himself, which is God himself revealed or exegeted by the Word. And you'll never get a true revelation of God apart from Word. God's got to empty his heart by way of his Word to let you know what he is. Absolutely. The only begotten who is in the bosom of Father, he has declared him, which has exegeted him, which means to declare and expose fully by word. See? Now, notice he goes on to say, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." See? Now, the righteousness of God is revealed in the Word, and the righteousness of God is Christ. So therefore, this revelation that Paul is bringing to the people is Christ or God himself revealed. Now remember, in the Septuagint is the key, I believe, to the whole Bible. That's why I don't worry about the Hebrew anymore. The Hebrew can just sit there. Because the Septuagint is what Jesus quoted from, and Peter and James and John, they all use the Septuagint. And if you'll go to, you'll find that word Christ in the Greek in many places, that same word that they use for Jehovah and Adonai, and Jehovah is Elohim. So if you're going to get a revelation of Almighty God, you're going to get a true Christ, because God was in Christ. The Hebrew and the Greek is just the same. You can't change the Word of God. Now, Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. How? The gospel of Christ, God Himself revealed. And in there, this revelation is revealed to us in order that we may have it. You don't get something revealed unto you. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed unto us belong unto us. So this revelation is ours, and it comes by the gospel, the Holy Spirit giving it to us, and it is Christ Himself. As Brother Branham brought up so many times, what is Christ but the Word? Now notice the other type of righteousness. This is man's righteousness in here. And it says the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness, even unrighteous men, because ungodliness and unrighteousness are not two different things. The same thing. So that man's ungodly. He doesn't believe in God. He does this, he does that. Doesn't mean a thing. That doesn't mean a thing. As Brother Branham said, that's not sin, that's the attributes of sin. There's only one sin, and that's unbelief. Ungodliness and unrighteousness is the same thing in the sight of Almighty God. Now what is, watch, look at that unrighteousness. The unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now that isn't a complicated sentence right there. But I like it because it uses that same word, unrighteousness, just hammers it right in there. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, even unrighteous men. And what is the unrighteousness of men? Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There's something there about the truth that they make the truth wrong. They got it held, and they're dealing with the truth. And this is what God hates. And the wrath of God is revealed against this. Not because the guy went on and got drunk. Do you follow me? Are you getting the picture now? God's not mad at these guys out here that are living in sin and drinking their booze and robbing a bank. He's not mad at those fellas. What he's angry at, as I'll show in a few minutes, is this unrighteousness where men are holding the truth in unrighteousness, which brings all this other corruption in. As the old fella was praying, oh God, he said, yeah, he said, remove the spider web, remove the spider web. The woman said, oh God, kill the spider. The spider webs are these things you're looking at out there. The spider is holding the truth in unrighteousness. This is the trouble. You follow me? You're getting the picture now. This is what Brother Branham preached and hammered, and nobody paid any attention to it because they don't want it. They can't see this. See, they go, I'm going to save that sinner from his sin. Why, he beats his wife and guzzles liquor and he's mean to the kids. Now, if I can get him away from that, oh, you haven't got the least hope of doing anything. Looking at it that way, you just make him a twofold child of hell. Right, because now he's cleaned up. Oh, I hope you caught that. I don't expect you to catch everything, but I hope you're catching something. Holding the truth in unrighteousness. This is the refusal of the truth and the repression of the same. Refusing the truth that's been revealed and repressing it. That's exactly what God hates. And that's what He's going to judge the world for. He's not going to judge the world because they're out there messing around. That's only incidental. See? This thing we look at wouldn't happen if it weren't for what I'm talking about. Holding the truth in unrighteousness. Dealing with it wrong and repressing it. Now, why do they do this? Because they want their own way, and they'll do anything to get it. See? Paul was doing the same thing before. This is none other than perversion. This is that great subject of perversion that Brother Branham dealt with. Now, let's go to 1 John and see this. I dealt with this when I was here before. It's very good to deal with it again because people missed it. 1 John 3, beginning at verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. There you are. And he that doeth unrighteousness is ungodly. He'll run the gamut. Okay? He that committeth sin is of the devil. That's a good, strong statement. But for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. It tells you right here that those that are born of God cannot commit sin. They can't sin because they're incapable of sinning. Just like little babies are not able to fly, but little bird babies can. Human babies can't fly because they're incapable of flying. On the other hand, little birds can't talk because they're incapable of talking. Neither can a child that's really born of God sin because he can't do it. There's something anymore letting him do it. Notice in verse 10, and this the children of God are manifest. And the children of them. In other words, it tells you right here that there's, that there's a manifestation of this truth on record. The child of God can't sin, but the devil's child can sin. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message you have heard in the beginning, that we should love one another. Now listen, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now you notice right in here, as I said the last time, everybody gets mixed up when they're thinking here. You think that when Cain killed his brother, that was the evil work. That was not the evil work. He killed his brother because his work was evil. He already had done something evil that brought about the killing of his brother. Now what was it? Let's go back to Genesis 4 and find out. All right, verse 2. Abel was a keeper of sheep, Cain a tiller of the soil. Process the time it came to pass, Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering to the Lord. Abel brought of the fat of the flock and the fatling thereof. And God respected Abel's offering, but not Cain. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Now here's what the original, here's what the Septuagint said. Thou hast offered right, yet if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? What does it say in the book of Timothy? All scripture given inspiration to God, proper righteousness, correction, reproof. The man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, but it also said here that you've got to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this man here, Cain, wrongly divided the word of God. Now, what was the right division? Bring the blood sacrifice, then bring the fruit of the ground. This Cain said, I'll bring the fruit of the ground and refuse the blood. Now, you can't say his offering wasn't right. It was right, but in the wrong place. At the wrong time. See? Because you have to give a fruit offering. That's the Bible. You're supposed to give a first fruit. You're supposed to bring the wave offering. Isn't that right? The first fruits of the land. The wave offering. The meal offering, which is the ground up meal. See, you're supposed to do it. But notice what he did. He divided wrongly. Now, after he got through dividing wrong, what did he do? He killed his brother. What was it that brought out the criminal sin of murder? The wrong handling of the word of God. You follow me now? I know this sounds silly. Nobody believes what I believe, Reverend Brigham Branham. Nobody would dare to believe what I preach. And no one would dare to believe what Brother Branham taught, except you get a revelation from it. See? You won't. I don't care. Your background is so thick, it makes you so thick unless God gets the hold of it and shakes you. You'll never get it. I'm not hurting you, I hope. I'm just telling you the truth. So I don't see. Certainly you can't see. Because you're blind. I don't mean that as anybody here in particular. I just mean that as a principle. See, I'm telling you what the Bible says here. You have rightly offered, but wrongly divided. This is what made him kill his brother. See, how do you know? Because he got mad at his brother. Why? Because his brother was right. For what? Having rightly divided the word of God. Cain did not have a revelation, but Abel did. And then God said, I'll take your Abel. I will not take your Cain. And then what happened? His brother Cain got mean and dirty out there in the field. And he killed his brother. Now, am I telling you the truth? Let me go further now. The Apostle Paul was a Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin. Is that right? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But he was there standing to fix the people on to kill his own brother of the flesh, Stephen. Now, why do you want Stephen killed? Because Stephen rightly divided the word of God. And Paul didn't. And he said, kill him and kill every other guy. I don't care if he's my aunt or my uncle or my cousin or my twin brother. Kill him.
But he doesn't believe like I believe. Paul was repressing the truth. He handled the Word of God wrong. And this is where we get all the crimes that God Almighty hates. See, the simplicity of the gospel has escaped everybody. Except the prophet. Except like in the case of Paul. Except like in the case of John. See? Cain was holding the truth in unrighteousness and even repressed it. How? He killed his brother. He was wrong in his division, and his wrong division led to murder, just like Jesus said, there's going to come a time when they'll throw you out of the synagogue and they'll think they're doing God a favor by killing you. Roman Catholic Church has done the same thing for years, ever since St. Augustine and Hippo told them to. Now, let's go back to Romans again here, this first chapter, and read again in verse 17 and 18. For he said, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, even unrighteous of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, I'm not going to read that 19th verse you said. Let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter now. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. Now, Paul is preaching this and saying, I would my flesh were saved, and yet when he was in his own flesh, he was killing his brethren, just like Cain killed his twin Abel. For what? The division of the Word of God. Either you believe the way I believe, or I'll get you. Either you believe the way I believe, or you're not part of me. That's right. It'll make even children hostile against their parents, and parents against their kids. I'm praying, he said, Israel might be saved, for I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They've got a zeal, all right. But it's not according to knowledge. What knowledge? They've got their own knowledge. What knowledge? Divine revelation. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Is that what God said to Cain? The sin offering lieth at thy door, and his desire is unto thee. Why don't you go and do it? Why don't you take it? And Cain said, I won't take it, and I'll kill the guy that does. He became a murderer. Why? Because of his hatred for the truth. And when you hate the truth, you'll do anything, but you'll justify yourself in doing it. Why? Because you'll go about establishing your own righteousness, which is unrighteousness. Why? For holding the truth of God wickedly, not taking the truth, and then turning against it so somebody else can't have it. Now, am I telling you the truth? Word for word what the Bible teaches. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Just keep that word believeth in mind. We'll get to it in a little while. Now, for Moses describes the righteousness of the law, that the man that doeth these things shall live by them. Could they ever do it? They certainly couldn't. They couldn't do it. There's nobody ever lived by the Ten Commandments yet. All they ever did is bring death. That's why I laugh when people try to tell me that Jesus, when he was crucified upon Calvary's cross, nailed the law of the ordinances, which was bringing your offerings and bringing the blood and all this. That's the biggest bunch of hogwash I've heard in my life. Paul the Apostle said, I had not known sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet. It was the Ten Commandments that condemned us, and those were the Ten Commandments that were nailed to Calvary. Ten Commandments couldn't save anybody. I don't care how hard you try, there is no way for salvation outside of a revelation to Christ, which is a revealed word, absolutely none. Then you go from there. Anything else you try before then is pure poison. That's right, it's the arsenic in the little child's chocolate bar. I don't care how good it tastes and how pretty it smells and everything else, it's death. See? But listen, the righteousness which of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down above. Or who shall descend to the deep? That bring Christ again the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now it nails it right down here to you what it's all about. It's you agreeing with that word 100% saying what Paul said. There's got to be revelation, of course, because it's in the heart. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God raised him, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Alright, that now watch the words there. Believeth, believeth, believeth. Now let's go and find believing. John 7, verse 37. In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, then come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. Doesn't say you're going to believe according to creeds and dogmas, but you're going to believe according to the Bible. What's the Bible? It's the revelation that God gave Paul. It's the revelation of the whole word, because every prophet, every teacher, everybody said the same thing when this Bible was written. Now, let's go to John 8 now, 37 to 47. You're going to believe now how the scripture's written. Now listen, verse 37, Jesus speaking. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Now there you are. Why was it that Cain killed his brother? Because God's word had no place in him. That right? That's right. Why kill him? Now let's find out if that's true. All right? God said to Cain, he said, the sin offering lies at the door. He said, you wrongly divided. You did right, but you wrongly divided. Now, can you say that? Can you say right here then that Jesus is speaking the truth when he said, the reason you seek to kill me is because my word has no place in you? Now, here it is, Cain. Now, right down here, he tells them, you're of your father the devil. He nails them right down to who their father was, which was Cain. And he said, you're going to kill me, because my word's got no place in you. That's the same way that Cain killed Abel. And yet God said to Cain, he said, you are following my word, but doing it wrong. Now then, can you say God's word has a place in you if you're wrong? And your faith is wrong and you got a creed and a dogma there? Now, see, look, you can't have your cake and eat it. This is the morning where we're going to cut and dry. We're going to make a ditch in this church about 10 miles wide and 40 miles deep. And you can take your pick which side you're going to stand on, because I've got to go with the Word. Because that's all I'm here to preach, is nothing but this Word of God. I've got one commission in life. God ordained me to preach the Word. And you got to take your stand this morning as to whether you're going to be in this Word or out of the Word. And you can't say, well, I'll tell you what, here it is, Brother Dale, I've got part of that thing there, and I got this far, and surely I'm okay. And what about Cain, my brother, my sister? And what about the scribes and Pharisees? Then you wonder why Brother Bannon had to keep jumping on the women, because they typed the church? They don't want the word. They don't want the word. No, the churches don't want the word. No. There's only going to be one little group of people ever do want this word, and they're going to be few and far between. You can count them on your hand pretty well. Well, let's keep reading. Now, I'm not making this up. I'm just counting what Jesus said. He said, you seek to kill me, because he said, my word's got no place in you. And they were reading the Old Testament every day and every night, looking for Messiah, talking about God. And let's face it, the only people who was even near enough to God to be called God's people somehow, and to be credited anyway, and he turns right and said, the reason he said, you leaders here, and he said, you want to kill me, is because there's no place in you for my word. Just like old Cain. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. He said, we're looking through two different telescopes. I'm looking through the eyes of God, and you're looking through the eyes of the devil. And they said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. What was the work of Abraham? Believe in God. Certainly, you know that's the truth. Four chapters of Romans. Paul's got to say the same thing Jesus did. You know, I remember years ago, I went to 6 weeks to a Bible college in Canada. I was born and raised up there. A nice little place. But you know what they said? They said that Jesus never gave the revelation, and Paul had to come and produce it. You know, I believed that for a while. I began reading the Bible, and I found that was a lie, that Jesus did preach sovereignty of God, election, predestination, foreknowledge, and all those things. And right in here, he's doing the same thing. See? No, Jesus preached this strong. He said, if you're Abraham, shall you do the works of Abraham, which is faith, which is the same thing that Paul taught, which is true. If the Bible is the Word of God, then Jesus could not say one thing opposite to Paul. They both say the same thing, about the same things. Now, you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. He certainly didn't. You do the deeds of your father. And they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. You know, they caught right on to that. Why, they knew there was only two sources in Israel. One would have to be of Cain, and one would have to be of Adam. And or Abraham would take you back to Adam, which takes you back to God. They caught on like that. They said, we weren't born of fornication. There's your serpent seed right there. And then people got mad at Brother Branham because he preached that the man, the serpent in the garden, had intercourse with Eve and produced Cain. That's been taught by Israel for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries. Israel always has believed that. So the serpent had coitus with Eve and produced Cain, and they also knew that they were twins. Then we stand up on our hind legs and say, what a dirty man to preach a dirty thing like that. Somebody's wrong. It wasn't the preacher, William Branham, the prophet. Now, Jesus said, if God were your father, you'd love me. What was he saying? He said, if you, God, was your father, you'd have room in your heart for me. Is that right? That's exactly what he's saying. Now, he said, you've got no room for the Word. How can people say they love Jesus when they don't love the Word? How can they stand up today and deny what the vindicated prophet said? Say, well, we love the Lord. Hallelujah. Huh? You can't. My Lord, have pity the things they try to tell us. Now, listen. He said, if God your Father, you love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Well, didn't the Word come from God? See? Now, this is just the Word made flesh. That's all Jesus is, the Word made flesh. What are you talking about? Huh? Oh, I threw a canvas over this microphone. It's still a microphone under canvas. Now, I go uptown and I get a bunch of rose petals, and I throw rose petals over it. It's still a microphone under rose petals. That's what Jesus was. The Word of God in flesh. Simple as ABC. He said, I came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. Hearing and understanding is the same thing. You say, well, I can hear the word of God. Can you? Do you understand it? Do you understand it? To hear it. Here's to understand it. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. How can he abide in the truth? As John said, this is the difference between the child of God and the child of the devil. He said, one will abide in it, one won't abide in it. How in the world can a grapevine abide in any place but a grape? But a grapevine, it can't do it. Now, he said, when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He's the liar and the father. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Which of you can confute me? That this is the Greek said, confute me in one word. Show me one word I haven't fulfilled in the Word of God, said Jesus. Show me one place I've ever been out of line with what I said. One word. See? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Now, you know right away, brother, sister, that doesn't mean that they were hearing this Bible right. Or hearing the Bible because they heard the Bible. They go from Genesis right back to all the way to the last chapter of Malachi to read the whole 39 books. No problem. But they weren't hearing it. They were hearing their creeds and their dogmas because they mixed up the Word of God. Now, see what Israel did there in Jesus' day. They were just like Cain. See? Took the revealed Word of God and perverted by their creeds and their dogmas. Isn't this what happened back in the book of Genesis? The second chapter. And in verse 9, out of the ground the Lord God made for every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there too. Verse 17, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, dying thou to surely die. Now you know the Bible said God made everything good, didn't he? And how could he have made a tree of good and evil? Ain't no such creature. No such animal. God never made one thing that was bad. So he could not have made a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What it is, there's only one type of knowledge, brother, sister. And it's what you do with it makes it good or evil. And all original knowledge is good because it all comes by the senses. Now what are you going to do with it? The word of God is good. There is not one word of God void of power. Yet he said, by your tradition, you have made my word void. What is it? It's perversion. Perversion, wrong handling, misuse. That's why Paul said there's nothing evil of itself. All things are pure to the pure in heart. You know, we get to where it touch, don't touch this, don't taste that, don't do. There's nothing to that nonsense. It's your motive. And love, to handle the word of God right, brother, is pure love. Because that's motive. That's why you cannot be a child of God if you're not in the message and you don't love your brother. Just boils it right down to that. So I want Brother Bill, I've lived a good life. I don't say you didn't live a good life. We haven't got you. No, that's not it at all. But God's not angry against that. No, sir. That's not it at all. He's angry against God. Now, notice what he did in the third chapter. She listened to the voice of the serpent. Now listen, who gave the word to Adam? God did. Who interpreted the word to Eve, the church? Satan did. What did he say? Why, he said, you won't surely die. Why, he said, God knows the day you eat that. He said, you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. You know that's true. God knows when a thing's perverted. We don't. It takes a revelation. That's why you get people sitting in church Sunday after Sunday, year after year, and they'll hear the most terrible things they ever heard. I picked up a little thing in Brother Miller's office this morning. We called an office, like a little cubby hole there. And you know what? It had a little triangle made up there, and it said, in the middle was an eye. Kind of a dismal looking thing, that silly looking eye there. And the top it said God, and said Holy Ghost and Jesus. And the triangle had under it, 1 Corinthians 6 and about 17, what it said, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit, trying to prove there's one spirit, which is God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Have you ever heard such hogwash? It's concerning a man that's born again is made one with Christ by the new birth. But they'll pervert anything. They'll twist anything. And people will sit there and eat it. Then wonder why they're dying. They wonder why they're going to miss the rapture. You don't have to wonder. We're telling you this morning, based on what the prophet taught. The Eve took the wrong revelation. This is why Brother Branham said in the greatest battle ever fought, page 21, a man cannot sin until he first casts aside the word of God. Then this morning, brother, sister, if you and I do not cast aside the revealed word of God, but relish it above our life, then we cannot sin. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Let's get the truth here this morning. The way the prophet taught it. I don't care what anybody else thinks. We're here to take the truth. Now, how was this originally done? Casting aside the word of God. By sidestepping it. See? Stepping aside. Because that's what disobedience means. This is exactly what Paul is trying to tell us. Disbelieve one word, misplace it, misinterpret it, or misapply it as Cain did, and it spells unrighteousness and spells death. You follow me? Where this should be as clear as ABC this morning. Every illustration in the word here just comes out exactly right, see? Now, notice verses 19 and 20 back here in the book of Romans. For, but because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, it says that they knew better than to do this, that God gave them the revelation. Now, did Cain know better than to kill his brother? Sure did. Did Cain know better than to try to put that offering in first place instead of second place? Sure, because God told him. Instructed him. Did he take it? No, he did not instruct him. See, they knew it took a revelation from God. They knew that. They knew that they couldn't tell from nature what God was. All you can tell from nature is that God is. But you can't tell what kind of a God he is. Now, how did they get their revelation? Let's go back to Deuteronomy 18, because remember, the book of Ecclesiastes said, whatsoever God doeth, he doeth it forever, and no man can add to it, or no man can take from it, because God doeth it. Now, what is it that God says over here? It says over here in the book of Deuteronomy, it says in verse 22, verse 21, if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet spoketh presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And yet up here it tells you that God is going to send a prophet like unto Moses, and you better hear him. And if you don't hear him, you're going to die. Now it tells you right here that the way that people knew the right revelation from God was by thus saith the Lord. A prophet would come in the name of the Lord, and what he would tell them would come to pass, so therefore they were to hear what message he had from God, because the prophet giving you the thus saith the Lord was to bring you to the word. Thus saith the Lord is nothing in itself. So what if a man came with thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, and tomorrow you better not go down that street because you'll be hit by a car. Thus saith the Lord, your sister's going to be taken out of the institution tomorrow. She'll be perfectly normal. Thus saith the Lord, now you're healed of cancer. Thus saith the Lord, what does that do for you? Meantime, you can go to hell. Thus saith the Lord is only to bring you to the revelation of God's word. Certainly. So God says right here, he said, look, he said, I've always given you a revelation. And you turn it down. And he said, you know there. I could go today to every church in America if they let me. And I could stand up and say, listen, you people, before Almighty God, have you ever seen a man that had thus said the Lord? They'd say, no, Brother Bill, we've never had a man like that. And if I could bring Brother Branham back here and say, Brother Branham, you're the man that's got to stand up here like you've always done and show them thus said the Lord. And he'd stand up and do it. Then I say, what are you going to do about it now? Are you going to hear this man? He's got thus saith the Lord. You're supposed to listen to him now. Now listen to him. Okay, what's he got to say? First of all, you're going to let your hair go. Oh! You're out the door right now like a thundering herd. What's that got to do with my lovely Christian experience in Christ? Cutting my hair doesn't mean a thing. I'll prove it. I'll talk to him. Now I've got the Holy Ghost down. You think they don't do things like that? They did it the last 15 years or 20 years Brother Branham preached. Now listen, God said, you have absolutely the revealed word. I showed it to you. I manifested it. And you turned it down. See? Right today even, men of science know that there is a God. They can prove it by nature. But they know that man's wisdom through the test tube and the intellect and the scientific does not prove what kind of a God he is. They know that. In other words, brother, sister, this day is going to be judged just like the day of Noah. They knew back there, they know today, and God is angry with them. Now, by the time of the flood, the scientific reasoning of men was so high that they had developed the God of their imagination. That's right. Why? Because they left Revelation alone. See, they turned it down. What's the next step then? They're going to develop a God of their imagination. Now let's prove it to you. Back in Romans, the first chapter again. See what they did here. See, everything is step by step. Just where we are today. Now, the invisible things of him for creation the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. even eternal power and God, if they are without excuse. Now listen, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain. Now the word vain isn't just a matter of pride, but you can have a thing in vain which means it won't do you any good. See? Vain in their reasoning, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's right. No revelation, no light, nothing. Why? Because by their reasoning. Now what did they do? They changed the glory of God into an image made like to corruptible man. What did they do? What's an image? An image is something like that. So they organized their church orders. And they put you through a religious system. And they said, that's God. Then they got to worse still. When they couldn't explain nature and understand nature, they began worshiping birds and beasts and anything else. Then to have their own way, their own lust, they began worshiping other things so they could indulge in greater physical pleasure, even if that pleasure meant killing somebody. See? They did it. In other words, they had which maybe you could call a pantheistic religion. God everywhere. Until they say, well, it doesn't really matter what you think God is, it's just as long as you worship God. You got that right today. Listen to me. When did America take its step down? America took its great step down in 1948 in San Francisco at the birth of the United Nations when they let anybody worship God any way they wanted according to their own ideas of God, and America stood for it. Until that time, you never had the diabolical perversion we got today. Sodomy, homosexuality, murder, and rampant sin. All right, let's find out what the Bible says. When they believed God any way they wanted to believe God, and they worshiped the God of their imagination, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies amongst themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie. They did. Because with the United Nations came the building which will have to put the image of the beast all the way into power. Because it's got to be political as well as spiritual power. And they worship. They changed the truth. They changed the true God. Not the truth of God. They changed the true God for a lie. And worshiped and served nature instead of God. Now, what part of me? Are you a part of nature? You sure are. That's why you've got nothing today but a worship of sex cult. And today there is no amusement left in America unless it's sex. We say their football game, yeah? And why have they got these little girls there with their panties up over their heads just about marching around? Try and buy a refrigerator of a naked girl standing by. Try and buy a car. Even try to buy an Eskimo Eagle, you'll find a naked Eskimo girl out there and he's taking off as much as he can. Yeah. Worshipping. His brother Branham said that God of America is a naked woman. And they worship at her shrine. They're worshipping creation. They're worshiping what they can get out of nature. They can take and mine the land, and with their high hands and their minds of science, they can bring forth wonderful gadgets and everything else, but it's destroying the people to do it. Like they say about women today, they got a dishwasher, wash machine, and this and that in the house, and they got less time and less rest and less everything than they ever had with 1,000 ways to make life better. They're 1,000 times more miserable, and so is the man. So is the man. Certainly. See? God came up to vile affection. Even the women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. Whatever that means, I'm not quite sure, but it sounds like some type of perversion, homosexual also. And likewise also the men, leaving natural use women, burning the lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. And now you've got unisex. You can't tell the man from the woman. You can't either. And what are they now? They're filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, vultures, inventors, evil things, disobedient parents, and so on, right down the line. Where did it come from? It came right from men holding the truth in unrighteousness. Because when man leaves the Word, he sins, but as long as he's with the Word, he can't sin. He'll love his brother. You bet. How can you love your brother being that kind of a mess? Couldn't do it. Now, but remember, before the flood came, God sent two prophets, Enoch and then Noah. But they wouldn't believe, even though they brought the revealed truth for the day, they were taken to the flood. What came next? Then God began to reveal his word to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the children of Jacob, until he gave a national revelation of himself through Moses. But what did Israel do? They sent that Baal Peor, which is joining themselves to others, which is a type of organization, because remember the sin of fornication in the flesh is spiritualized as to organization. That's right, it's the sin of organization, living with it. Then under Korah and Dathan, Israel left the word for the gifts, and they esteemed the miracles more than the word of God, so they could not enter in by faith into Palestine, and they died. Read it for yourself in Hebrews the 3rd chapter, verse 7 to Hebrews 4 and verse 2. See? They died. Kept going into sin. Then listen, taking this quickly now. But God then again sent them a messenger, John the Baptist, just before he revealed himself in human form. For had God not sent John the Baptist to forerun him when he came suddenly to the temple, which is Jesus, as he hung there as the dove, preparatory to filling the temple, which was Jesus, he would have destroyed all of Israel and the whole world. Now, let's go first of all to Luke, the 1st chapter. I'm going to prove my point here in a minute. Just keep it in mind. Luke, the 1st chapter, verses 13 to 17. But the angel said unto Zacharias, fear not, thy wife, thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many, notice not all, but the many which is the elect, of the children of Israel, shall he turn to the Lord their God. Where were all the rest of them? Turned away. Israel, the only nation or people that God had respect for, everyone was turned away from God. Now, let's go on here further now. And he shall go before God in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And that word disobedient means to sidestep even through misunderstanding. It is not necessarily willful disobedience by refusing to do what you know, but it's not being able to do what you should do because you don't know. Now then, did anybody try to get around this? Well, I'm going to make the rapture. You see, God won't hold me accountable because I don't know it. Oh, won't he? I got news for you. You'll never make the bride unless you are a word-identified, word-oriented child of the living God. There is no such thing as sidestepping this word. And this is what John the Baptist came to do, was to bring them back to the Word, and it says here, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. As I've said before, what's to make ready that was already prepared? That sounds stupid. There's only one prepared vessel, and that's the elect child of God, and God's elect children were not ready to meet the Lord. And John the Baptist came, and how did he do it? He came bringing them the revelation of the Word for that day. Now, I said a minute ago that when that Spirit of God came upon Jesus, that he came as a dove upon Jesus, I said, had it not been for John, then God, the Holy Ghost, which is the dove, would have destroyed the world at that coming. All right? Let's go back to Malachi, the 4th chapter, and find out. Because, listen, he puts the two of them right together. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Anytime God comes, it's a great and dreadful day. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That took place under John, is that right? So the first coming and the second coming of Christ is right here together. And he said, if I don't send Elijah, which was John, I'll kill them. the whole bunch. Now that would have taken place even when Jesus was here in the flesh, except for John. You follow me? Because the Word of God cannot be changed. See, is that right? You know it's right. Did God send the pillar of fire before he sent Moses? No. Did God send the pillar of fire before he sent Elijah? No. God had always had a prophet. Or when he came, he would destroy. He can't help it. Let's keep on now. Let's go back to Romans, the first chapter. Now, in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and even unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness. Now, what was happening in the day when Jesus was here on earth? This very thing was taking place, right? Now then, it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Now, what is that wrath of God? It is not judgment. It is the personal anger and wrath of Almighty God, God's own personal emotion aroused. And for him to come on that scene, the dove, to fill Jesus before John got there, he would not even fill Jesus. He'd have killed every single person but Jesus. And destroyed them all. You follow me? And the same thing has to occur at the end time. There is absolutely no hope of God descending and coming unless, first of all, somebody prepares that way. And you've got it in Elijah at the end time, which we know took place in the 20th century. Now notice what happened under John. As I said, the elect came to the revealed Word of God. Now then, let's drop down in history ways further. Go to Pentecost. After Pentecost, the same thing happened to the church that happened in Eden. Paul said, I'm worried lest you as a virgin become unvirgin through seduction of the mind. Eve became an unvirgin by literal seduction, intercourse with the serpent. But we commit intercourse through the mind. See? That's why Paul preached in the book of Galatians. He said, I would they were cut off to trouble you. What were cut off? Those that preached another gospel, is that right? Now what does the word in the Greek mean? I'm not sure that one strong concordance said it means amputate. But Dr. Moffat says it's stronger, it means castrate. A castrated man cannot produce seed. So Paul said, I would they were castrated. See? Why? Planting their own seed instead of the seed of God. Where? In the mind. And people love that fornicating mind. See? Why do you think people never left their churches when Brother Branham preached the vindicated truth? Because they love fornication. Doesn't almost everybody? Certainly. That's why the world today is so full of fornication, because it's the type of the people playing fornication with the devil. Why, there's no marriage vows left or anything else. Now, in Revelation the 6th chapter, John saw it, the white horse rider looking so close to the real. In Acts 2:16, Peter preached what would happen in the end time. Two groups of people, both with the Holy Ghost, but one for God and one against God, both anointed. You know the story on that. I've preached it many times here. Paul gave the exact account over here in 2 Thessalonians. Now, we're getting right to it. That's why I said I got three messages on this subject, not just one. I'm going to just deal with this part. Now, Paul says here, now for 2 Timothy, 2 Thessalonians, 2 chapter, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus, and by our gathering together unto him, that you soon be not shaken in mind, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, and so on. Let no man deceive you. That day cannot come, except to come a falling away first. The man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself of all that's called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember not when I told you these things? Now he said the thing which is holding it back is the mystery of iniquity, has not yet been revealed, and can only be revealed at a certain time, and then of course the Lord is going to destroy him and so on and so on. Now, notice in here, And Jesus said way back in Matthew 7, 21 and Matthew 24, 24 that there would be people producing genuine signs and wonders but were antichrist. False prophets. They are off the word. Now, let us take a look at this. He says here, I want to get the right verse. Yes, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Who's the Antichrist going to take in? The unrighteous. Who are they? We know who the unrighteousness is. We know what it is. Handling the Word of God deceitfully. Suppressing it. Receiving it, refusing to accept the truth, and propagating their own lies. Right at the end time. And when this thing comes to a head, and it's got to come to a head, it's going to be the destruction of those who turn down the Word. It says they refuse the love of the truth. What is truth? Christ is truth. What is Christ? He is the Word. Turn him down. Turn down the manifested Word. See, now, this is called the man who heads up everybody who's in this mess is called the mystery of iniquity. Right. What is mystery of iniquity? It is men and women worshiping God, doing the works of God, and claiming to be God's own truth. Bride, and claiming to have God's own true revelation. But they don't. Because the real revelation is missing. I want to go over that. Now listen, what is this group of people that are part of this mystery iniquity? What is this man that heads it? Where is it coming from? It's coming from what I've been talking about all morning. It's now, it's up to the plate. According to Acts, the second chapter, 16, 17, at the end time, men and women both doing signs and wonders. Right? One's of God, one's not of God. Matthew 24, 24. Men and women doing signs and wonders. One's of God, one's not of God. Those are with the Word and those against the Word. Now at the end time, you've got the same thing. You've got men and women worshiping Almighty God, doing the works of God, and claiming to be God's own children, but they are outside the true revelation of the Word. See? This is that thing that's so simple that's fooling the people. And right today, I find many people who say, I believe Brother Branham, his message. Don't see this point I'm trying to drive home this morning. They just shrug. What's the big deal? They don't even mind if the pulpit is filled with a man that doesn't say the truth. Says also what Brother Branham said. They don't mind that at all. One man will declare that Brother Branham had to change his understanding of the doctrine of the evidence of the Holy Ghost from love to the Word because he said what it was Brother Branham saw the people that didn't have any love. Brother Branham said God gave him a vision. But the people don't mind that. They're not worried about the Word of God. As long as you're nice and sweet and comfortable. Now, I believe in having love. You bet I believe in love. What is love is doing the right thing. I went to Brother Branham about that. He said, you ever do those things you don't want to do, but you do for the sake of Christ? I said, sure, who doesn't? He said, that's love. It's not jumping up and down showing a lot of sentiment. It's doing what's right. He said, what's compassion? He said, did Christ show compassion when he missed 40,000, picked up one man and healed him? Where's compassion in that? The compassion was doing what the Father told him to do. That sounds kind of flat, doesn't it? We'd sooner have compassion some red-hot little feeling. The prophet said different. And I believe this, what we teach this morning here, what the prophet stood on. Not saying you mustn't have love. Sure you must have love. Must be tender, compassionate, gentle. All of these things are part of it. But that's not what the Word says is the root. Brother, sister, if you want to kill a stinkweed, go to the root. If you want to kill a tree, go to the root. If you want to kill anything, go to the root. God says there's not going to be one plant that will not be uprooted. that he didn't plant. Every plant he didn't plant could be uprooted. Go to the root. What's the root this morning? The root of Mr. Iniquity tells you there's going to be an end time group of people. Now listen, this iniquity is going to be what we're talking about, which is men and women doing the mighty signs and wonders, talking about God, worshiping God, but they're going to be outside the revealed truth because the Bible says, as I read of you, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness then? It's based in deception. Either you deceive yourself, that's what it says here, or somebody deceived you. Where was written deception? In the garden of the word, right? My, I hope you're catching it. They wouldn't receive the love of the truth, and they were destroyed. They can do everything but stay with the word, as Brother Branham said. They say that they are in the word just like Cain. They act like Israel. They preach and teach. They carry out the commandments in their own way. But they can't go word by word, as it says in Isaiah, the 28th chapter. At the end time, whom should he teach knowledge? Make you understand doctrine, and so on. And this was established in the tongue. He said, precept must be upon precept, line upon line, hither there little. Verse 10. And in verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary rest, and this is the refreshing, but they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, hither there little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. God is the end time. Absolutely bringing his word, word by word by word, all the way from Genesis right to Revelation, and they turn it down, and they're snared and taken because they won't take that word of God. They don't want a word by word. Oh, Brother Brad, don't fuss at Our Lady. Tell them all about gifts. You know something? I had a gift ministry for years, and it's the most carnal thing in all the world. If you want, be my guest, have it. I taught it for years until I had even the most subdued and humble and introverted person you could ever lay an eye on believe in God and operating in that ministry, and it caused nothing but chaos and perversion. It's a mess. Why? Because the gift ministry was never meant to be the way anybody had it outside of Brother Branham put it in the little room at the back where it belonged. But no, people don't want that. It's just like prayer meetings. Why did Brother Branham say that you can't have prayer meetings outside of your own local group? If there's a problem, call the church, let them pray. You know why? Little groups get here, little groups there, and it perverts right away. There's talk and there's feelings all come up, and then pretty soon you're all split 14 ways. So, Brother Ben, I can't believe it. And you watch. Be my guest. What happened? I'll tell you right now. If you've got any nonsense like that going on around here, you'll pay a price for it. Well, I see there it's always fetching. Don't you know what God said by his prophets is the same as God himself standing here saying it? And he said to Cain, he said, listen, I don't care how right what you're doing, it's in the wrong place. I've hurt people so bad the other day preaching this way. They thought I was deliberately talking to them. A lady had a prayer meeting, I didn't know it. They were sure I was just trying to destroy her. I'm trying to destroy her, but you do what you want, be my guest. They say, you're mean and dirty and... No, I'm not. God said the same thing to Naaman, the old Balaam. He said, don't go down there. He said, I like you. I said, be my guest, go on down. Oh, bless you, when you get there, sure, oh, that's your prophet. You bet, I'll anoint you, absolutely. But he said, you watch at the end of what's going to happen to you. Foul and sin fighting against Israel. Having led the children to fornication. A man with anointed Holy Ghost on his lips prophesying led the people into sin. You know why? Because they wanted it. You know, we're in that same mess right today, brother, sister. We had a prophet come, God speak to us by a prophet, thus saith the Lord. And who's listening? Who's listening? Where is the manifested power? You know why the power is missing? Because people never did do what the prophet told them to do. That's not my job. That's for the people. That wasn't his job. That's for the people. See, they said here, they fell back. It was word by word that the rest came, the rest of faith. The millennium would come word by word, and instead it became a snare to them, and they were taken, and they fell back just like Jesus. And when they said, which is that? He said, I am, and they fell back, because he was the I am. So this word, they'll fall back and be destroyed. But he that falls upon the word will not be destroyed. Now listen, 2 Thessalonians again, what's Paul speaking to? The church. He said, listen, church. Now, let's get this. Listen, church, the mystery of iniquity is going to be in you. Right. Where is that mystery of iniquity? Down there in the pool hall? No. It's going to be right where? Where in the Laodicean church? What church is the major Laodicean church today? Pentecost. Because they've got to produce the power, but not the word. Right today, the Roman Catholic Church has gift ministries. Lutherans have it. Everybody's got it. You've got an absolute manifestation of a power ministry off the word right today in the world, and the Bible said the Antichrist is going to have that same kind of a ministry. He's going to stand up and prove that he's God. You know, before Thor, brother, sister, you may see a greater ministry than Brother Branham had in this earth. I can't believe anybody that has upset the Lord with that prophet. But if it came to a showdown of signs and wonders, there can arise a man on this scene that could well outproduce anybody. Because it says right here, he's going to show himself that he is God. But that's in another sermon. We'll cover that later. I just want to drop it here now. Let you know, though, I got something on this. I'm not just talking through my hand. And who is this man going to do it? He is called the man of iniquity, the man of sin, the wicked one. Iniquity and wicked are both translated lawless. The lawless one. What's the lawless one? There's no such thing as lawlessness. He operates under a law of God. I operate under it. Look at this morning, brother, sister. If I got mad here and took a gun and killed you all and set your church on fire, I'm still operating under a law. And I'm not even breaking a law, because you can't break a law. How could you break the law of gravity? What you do is you're perverted. You use it wrong. I could use a bullet to kill, a match to burn, a passion to destroy instead of love and hell. There's no difference. There's everything made in this world is absolutely perfect and pure. It's just what you do with it. So. That's why it says about the devil, thou perfect all thy ways till iniquity is found in you, until you began doing something with yourself you shouldn't have done. This is the same thing we got today in the church. See? Lawlessness. The refusal to go with the revealed word of Almighty God, because man is so taken up with his wisdom and his gifts and everything around here that he's forgotten about God, the revealed word. Remember, brother, sister, that God has only one chosen place of worship, and that is Christ, the word. God has written his name only in one gate that enters in to the eternal city, and that is Christ, the door, who is the word. All else of the fin, he is going to gather up and burn. But beloved, we don't need to be in doubt about the end time. We don't need to worry about being caught up in perversion. Because God said in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, he was going to send Elijah the prophet. He would turn our hearts back to the Father. God said in Revelation 10 and 7, that he sent the prophet, the seventh church age prophet, and he would reveal all the mysteries of God, which I'll speak on if I get back here and cover the other two sermons. Show you what it really is. As Brother Branham said, that prophet would plant the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent to the prophet in the former rain. He did it. He fulfilled that in there which spoke in Revelation 22, 18 and 19, that you cannot add to the word or take one word from it. In other words, a perfect revealed truth for the day. And the Bible said the reason they went for the Antichrist, the reason they went for iniquity, the reason they did it because they were unrighteous. They had gotten off of that word, they turned down the revelation. The prophet said, I believe God sent me to help dress the bride. What was that dress? It was the robe of righteousness, which was the Word of God. What was it that Eve laid down? It was that Word. What was it Cain laid down? It was that Word. What did Christ excoriate those scribes and Pharisees for? They laid down the Word. What did Paul say the virgin would no longer be a virgin from? Laying down the Word. What did Christ say he was coming for? A virgin. She's got to go back to the Word. So simple, the prophet said, they missed it. Looking for some big thing. Folks, the big thing could come through the Antichrist church system. It could. I never knew that when I began studying this last week on this subject. It could. As Brother Branham said, you watch. He said, those men could outperform Moses. He said, when I leave this thing, you watch how they really come in like a flood. Could it be we're going to see a man fill the Antichrist chair? Will it be that we will see a Pope of Rome with a power and ministry that you never believed possible? Controlling in peace and love and good nature the whole world to bring us to a place of oneness with God? Because he's going to have to do something, brother, sister. And if I read my Bible right this morning, I know how he's going to do it. Because it's all there in the Word. Stick with the Word, brother. Stick with the Word with the prophet. That's why he said, don't add to it and don't take from it. Don't change it. He said, say it the way I said it. I hope this morning I have said it exactly as he preached it on many days. I hope by the grace of God, and I trust with all my heart, I have. Because I cannot move from what I see this morning. Or I cannot believe what the prophet taught. And I've got to have faith. I've got to make everything that he said line up with this. Or I don't know that I'm saying it right. When I can say what he said with scripture after scripture, then somehow in my heart I've got to believe I'm right. And I stand here believing I've not told you one lie, but told you the truth. And the truth will set you free. It'll set you free from any antichrist tainters that it may be a little hard on what you've been doing and what you've been believing. Because you maybe don't feel good at breaking away, brother, sister, break away this morning. And just stick with the prophet. That's all. Do what he said. He said, believe this word. Don't cramp. Love each other. Don't divide. Don't sort out. See, because it goes hand in hand. And one day, there'll be a rapture. And believe me, I've got a feeling. And that feeling has got awful oppressive, brother, sister. That this thing is so close. We just don't realize. It's so close. The Lord bless you. Service at 7:30. 7 o'clock? That's right, Brother Miller, here at 7 o'clock. Shall we rise and be dismissed? Gracious, Lord, maybe cutting some out. I trust that you'll fill in the little bit I cut out there, Lord, because I know that it all is just right, Lord, from the Word, and by your Spirit they can see it, O God. How important, Lord, to take this Word and believe it and get right under it, and then know that as we direct our hearts in love, it's going to come forth absolutely, absolutely. Oh, God, this morning, I believe that the sundial is reflecting the last rays of the sun of this age. It's just about time to go away. Grant this morning, Lord, that none of us miss the glory which lies ahead. And unto the King eternal and mortal visible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.